Shalom v'brokot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are in the second Sefer book of the Torah proper for the Hebrew year 5781. The Hebrew name of this week's parsha is Vayechel, he assembled. We welcome all of our regular listeners to continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. I do like to make you aware each week, we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries. Let us go ahead and get started. As we begin our study, let me make a clarification on our Torah parsha for this week. As most are aware, on the Hebrew calendar, which is based on lunar moon cycles rather than solar sun cycles, you have what is known as leap years and regular years. It is designed to keep the Torah calendar in rhythm with the Hebrew year. In Hebrew leap years, a number of parshot or portions are doubled. However, there are also four sets of parshot or portions that are also doubled in regular years. This year is the Hebrew year 5781. On the Gregorian calendar, it is 2021, a regular year. Therefore, our Torah reading for this week is doubled. You may click on the link to read more about this. The meaning of this week's parsha is he assembled. It is about the gathering of the congregation of the children Israel for the bringing of the needed offerings for the building and finishing of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and those who would be doing the work, which included both those skilled in wisdom through Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, as well as those who were general laborers. We have just come through the worst failure of these Israelites to date, the sin of the golden calf. There seems to be a real air of genuine teshuva, repentance, that is permeating the camp. When the teshuva, repentance, has done its work, there is a sense within the heart of joy and readiness to be about Yahweh's business. You get this very sense as our parsha opens, especially in light of the spirit in which the Israelites brought their offerings. The Shabbat continued. We are reading from Shemot, Exodus 35, verses 1 through 3. And Moshe assembled Kol Adat B'nai Israel, all the assembly of the children of Israel, and said unto them, these are the Devarim, the words which Hashem, Yahweh, hath commanded, that you should do them. Sheshet Yamim, 6 days, shall work be done, but on the Yom HaShavi, the seventh day, shall be to you, that's a plural you, that's the camp, Kodesh Shabbos Shabbatam, a holy Shabbat of complete rest, to Hashem Yahweh. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no ish, no fire, throughout your habitations upon Yom HaShabbat, the day of Shabbat. At the outset of our parsha, we find that Yahweh is once again reintroducing the subject of his Shabbat. We aren't going to take an in-depth look into this subject here, but only to make a pertinent observation. The Shabbat has already been introduced to Yahweh's fledgling nation in previous parshot, parshas. Let us remember that during their captivity and slavery in Mitzrayim, Egypt, the Shabbat was something that had fallen into disuse. Now Yahweh is affecting their deliverance and reconstituting them as a nation, one established upon his Torah. He is working to renew them to their Hebraic heritage. The Shabbat is a governing principle of Yahweh's Torah. Am Israel must consistently be brought back to understand this. The importance of celebrating the Shabbat must not be minimized. It is a sign, literally the wedding ring, and one that sets Israel apart from all other nations, citing Shemot Exodus 31, verses 13 and verse 17. It shows that their hope and their trust in seeing all their needs supplied does not rest upon their efforts alone. That day of complete rest, the literal meaning of the word Shabbat, shows that Israel purposefully stopped their own efforts to produce out of loving obedience to their Creator. Yahweh will see to it that all their needs will be met as they honor Him above all. The reason that the Shabbat is again being spoken of at this particular point is for Yahweh's purpose of added emphasis, even in the face of the holiness of the Mishkan Tabernacle, the very dwelling place of Yahweh on earth. Nothing must cause the veracity of the Shabbat to be diminished. Even in such holy things, nothing is more holy than the day that Yahweh gave to his people as a sign of their love and commitment to him. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, is not to be a monument to man's efforts to impress his Creator. It is not about man's effort, his sacrifice, his cunning and craft work. It is about his following the tabnit, the pattern provided by the Almighty. If they build it according to the tabnit, the pattern, by the wisdom he provides and their utter trust in his instructions, then the crowning achievement is not in the magnificence of the structure. It is in that he comes as he promised, and his Shekhinah, his manifest presence, is seen and dwells among Israel. The Shabbat is testimony to that. Man stops. Everything halts in order to give glory to the one who has delivered them and is calling them to his land. Yahweh purposefully places the Shabbat in our parsha to cause Israel, his bride, to remember whose they are and why they are to lovingly observe this set-apart day to him. The people respond with overwhelming enthusiasm. Am Israel departs and begins the process of preparation for the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. I would like to point out a couple of important points within this section. Number one, first, we have the two young men from our earlier parsha being brought back into view. There is Bezalel from Yehuda, Judah, the future southern house, and Oholiab from Dan, the future northern house of Israel, the house of Yosef Ephraim. So again, we see the whole house of Israel at work. Number two, second, along with these two young men, there were others who were skilled in wisdom. They were given the anointing of Yahweh's Haruch HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. The point being, these skilled men were those in whom an endowment of the Almighty was enabling them to carry out the skilled work required. These were not skilled persons trained for years to become learned craftsmen. Up until a few weeks earlier, these persons had been slaves, makers of brick. Bezalel was, by most calculations, only about 13 years old. Again, it's not about what any one person could bring to the table. It was about what Yahweh had done and was doing in each of these workers. It was all about Yahweh's glory. Yahweh imparted the wisdom for the work to those he had chosen for that purpose. Others were endowed with wisdom from Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness, to help these young men in the artistic crafting. The whole camp of Israel was alive with the buzz of joy in accomplishing the work at hand. Am Israel had just come through the terrible failure with the sin of the golden calf. The judgment was swift and severe, but the result is becoming clear. The shalom, the peace that comes when the discipline of Yahweh reaches its desired end, the peaceable fruit of righteousness was apparent, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. This can be seen so clearly in the result of the hearts of those in Am Israel who were being moved to bring the terumah, the elevation offerings of needed supplies and materials. Such willingness of heart, such desire to give all they could, so much so that we find the following description and ensuing instruction being given by Moshe, reciting Shemot, Exodus chapter 36, verse 5 through 7. And they spoke unto Moshe, saying, Ha'am, the people, bring much more than enough for the avodah, the service of the work, which Hashem Yahweh commanded to do. And Moshe gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the machane, the camp, saying, that neither ish, man, nor isha, woman, make any more work for the terumat hakodesh, the elevation offerings for the holy place. So Ha'am, the people, were restrained from bringing, for the work had been sufficient for all the work to do it vihoter, and more than enough. What a problem to have. The people are so full of kavana, passionate intent, that they have to be restrained from giving anything else. This is what happens when people's hearts are in the right place as Yahweh moves by his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. There will not only be enough, there will be more than enough. The significance of the furnishings of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. We will now begin to consider the furnishings of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, that are provided for us here in our parsha. The Mishkan tabernacle is a prophetic parable of our redemption. All of the furnishings point to something more than just the physical. We are not going to go as in depth into this as is possible in this commentary. However, we will see that there is much truth and pictures of spiritual insight in these furnishings. Hopefully, as we touch on the furnishings, it will provoke you to explore these things further on your own. Our Yahweh is great, and his ways are truly unfathomable. Yet, he gives us what we need each step of the way. It will take eternity to take it all in. The curtains. We will be quoting from Shemot, Exodus, chapter 36, verses 8 through 13. And kol chacham lev, all the hearts with wisdom among them that wrought the work of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, made 10 curtains of fine linen, twisted with turquoise and purple and scarlet wool, with keruvim, cherubs, in a woven artistic design, made he Bezalel them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain was 4 cubits. The curtains were all of the one size, and he joined 5 curtains, one unto another, and the other 5 curtains he joined one unto another. And he made loops of turquoise wool on the edge of the one curtain at the end of the first set. Likewise, he made them along the edge of the end curtains of the second set. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the end curtain in the second set. The loops were to be opposite one another. And he made 50 hooks of zahab, gold, and joined the curtains one unto another with the hooks. So it became Mishkan Echad, one tabernacle. Our first furnishing is the curtains. We are told that there are 10. They are joined 5 curtains one to another, and the 5 other curtains join the same. The curtains are made of fine linen, twisted, and in three colors. Their length was 28 cubits by 4 cubits wide. There was an artistic design of cherubim, of cherubs, embroidered into them. It is very important that we recognize that all the curtains were of one size. The curtains were hung by 50 turquoise blue loops attached to the edge of the curtains. There were 50 golden hooks that held the curtains in place. The most prominent factor in all of this is the last words of the passage. The Mishkan tabernacle became a echad, or one unit. The curtains were 10 together, 5 by 5. 5 is the number of the Torah and also of grace. Yochanan, John, in his Besorah, his gospel, tells us that the Torah came through Moshe. Grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, citing Yochanan John, chapter 1, verse 17. These two concepts are not two separate realities, as we have been taught by the theology of Christendom. They are two sides of the same coin in Yahweh's economy, just as it is in most earthly monetary systems. Both sides of the coin must be intact to be considered of legal value. So it takes both Torah, joined together by grace and truth, in order for us to walk in a manner pleasing to Yahweh. The curtains were made of fine linen. Linen is a picture of righteousness. The three colors, turquoise, blue, depicts heaven, Yahweh's throne, and the Mashiach. The purple shows forth the royalty of our Melech Mashiach, King Messiah. The scarlet is our redemption purchased by the precious blood of Yahweh's own Son. The length of the curtains was 28 cubits, which is a product of 7 times 4. 7 is perfection, and 4 is the number of the Mashiach. Again, our righteousness in him is the product of his perfect, sinless humanity. The cherubim, the cherubs, or the living creatures, are depicted as guarding the throne in heaven, citing Hitgalut, Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, and Yehezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, and verse 10. The cherubim, the cherubs, are embroidered on the linen curtains, which are seen only in the Kadosh Kedoshim, most holy place. That's because the innermost chamber is a mirror of the throne room in the Shemayim, in the heavens. The turquoise blue loops are a picture of Mashiach Yeshua. The loop is a picture of his eternal existence as the word of Yahweh, who chose to be brought forth, not a creation event, a transition event. First, in the eternals, in eternity past, citing Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. From the bosom within Abba Yahweh's eternal being, citing Yochanan John chapter 1 verse 18, he was then brought forth a second time through the womb of Miriam, of Mary, as a manifestation of Yahweh in human flesh, our kinsman redeemer, citing Yochanan John chapter 1 and verse 14. These blue loops were attached to 50 golden hooks upon which the curtains were hung. Interesting. The word for hook in Hebrew is keres. Again, a picture of our blessed Mashiach Yeshua. The gold is a symbol of his echad, one being, as a unit of plurality of divinity. Yahweh's threefold holiness in Hebrew, known as Kedusha Meshulashet. Also noting, this is not the same as the erroneous Trinity doctrine taught by the Church of Christendom, three gods in one, which is a violation of the Torah. The word keres, hooks, comes from a root word, karas, meaning to bend or stoop down, which is the picture of what Mashiach did in order to take on human form, citing Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. The gold testifies that he did not cease being Yahweh the Word, only that he changed his mode of existence, not his essence, quoting Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. The golden hooks hold the linen curtains in place, showing Yahweh's plurality of divinity in his manifestation as the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. The golden hooks, his divinity, supports his righteousness. This caused the Mishkan, the tabernacle, to reflect the oneness of the Creator. It also signifies the true heavenly Mishkan, the tabernacle, of which the earthly one is only a representation. Quoting Shemot, Exodus chapter 36, verse 14 through 18. And he made curtains of goat hair for the ohel, the tent, over the Mishkan, the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the width of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of the one size. He joined 5 curtains into a set and 6 curtains into a set. And he made 50 loops upon the outermost edge of the curtain at the end of the set, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain of the other set. And he made 50 hooks of nechoshet, or bronze, to attach the ohel, the tent, together, that it might be echad, or one. Now over the linen curtains were hung curtains of goat hair. Please note that it was not goat skin, but goat hair. Why is this important? Because the hair is that which separates the skin from the outside elements. The common color of goat hair used for these purposes was black, or of a dark variety. One of the other common uses of this type of material was in the making of sackcloth. This speaks of sorrow and mourning. The darkness symbolizes sin, and the fact that Mashiach Yeshua came to bear our sins, not become sin, as the theology of Christendom erroneously teaches, as the man of sorrows, citing Yeshayahu Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Yet his flesh was only in the likeness of sinful flesh, citing Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Mashiach Yeshua had no sin. The incorruptible human skin of our blessed Master acted as a separator between his inner glorious nature as Yahweh the Word and the sinful contamination of the fallen world he walked in. There were 11 of these curtains, and like the linen ones, they are divided into two groups. There was one group of 6 and the other group of 5. The length of the curtains was 30 cubits by 4 cubits. The number 6 is the number of man. 5, again, is either Torah or grace. It could also be a composite of both. Torah reveals the sinfulness in man, and grace is Yahweh's answer for it. Again, 4 is the number of Mashiach. 30 is how old Master Yeshua was when he began his ministry. It is important again to see that these curtains too are of one size. The curtains were joined in sets of 5 and then 6. Again, there are 50 loops, presumably of the turquoise blue color, placed upon the edge of both sets by which they were to be hung in place. Only this time, the hooks were made of bronze, not gold. Bronze is a picture of judgment. As we stated, the goat hair was dark and alluded to the likeness of sinful flesh, which Mashiach appeared to have, but did not. Thus, the goat hair curtain was suspended upon the hooks of bronze, which symbolized the judgment he took on our behalf as payment for the all-too-real sinfulness our flesh did have. To again prove that this likeness of sinful flesh was only an appearance, actual sin causes fragmentation. Instead, this goat hair curtain, suspended according to Yahweh's pattern, actually causes the ohel, the tent of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, to be one. Quoting Shemot, Exodus 36 and verse 19. And he made a mikseh, a cover for the ohel, the tent, of dyed red ram skin and a takash hide, a mikse cover, above that. The third thing mentioned in our parsha is the mikse, the covering, placed over these hanging curtains. These were made of ram skin. The use of the ram, of course, immediately points to Avinu, our father Avraham, and Yitzchak, Isaac, on Mount Moriah, quoting Bereshit, Genesis chapter 22. Yahweh provides the offering for Avraham by the ram caught in the thicket. The ram was used as a trespass or asham, guilt, korban offering, as one of the five korbanot offerings spoken of in the Sefer Book of Vayikra, Leviticus. It was also used as a korban offering in the ordination of the Levitical Aaronic priest. Also, all of the korbanot offerings of the animals point to Mashiach Yeshua as our final substitute in our eternal redemption. The red dye speaks clearly of redemption. The sinless blood of which our blessed Mashiach Yeshua gave himself on our behalf. The final covering is that of the tchash hide. There is some discussion among scholars as to just what kind of animal provided this skin. Some say it was a badger, others a dolphin, some even say a sheep. More than likely, it was a badger. Yahweh used badger skin in his prophetic word to Yehuda, Judah, concerning his deliverance and redemption of Jewish Israel when he found them in the bloodiness of their sin and nakedness in Yehezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 16. Nonetheless, here's the picture that is being provided. By the time this last covering is applied, there is nothing really appealing about it. You cannot see the colorful linen curtains and their embroidery beneath them. The more exposed this last covering becomes to the elements of the desert, the wilderness, the more faded and worn will be its appearance. It is a perfect picture of the covering of the flesh of our blessed Mashiach Yeshua when he walked among us in his day. The Navi, prophet Yeshayahu Isaiah, prophesied of him, quoting from Yeshayahu Isaiah 53, verse 2, the latter part. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The boards and the crossbars, and we're quoting from Shemot, Exodus chapter 36, verse 20 through 34. And he made the kerashim, the planks for the Mishkan tabernacle of acacia wood, standing erect. And the length of a keresh, a plank, was 10 cubits, and the width of a keresh, a plank, 1 cubit and a half. One keresh had 2 yodot, projections or tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make for all the kereshim the planks of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And he made kereshim, frames and planks for the Mishkan, the tabernacle, 20 kereshim planks for the Negev, the south side, southward, and 40 sockets of kesef, silver, he made under the 20 kereshim, the planks, 2 sockets under 1 keresh, 1 plank, for its 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another keresh, plank, for its 2 tenons. And for the other side of the Mishkan tabernacle, which is toward the north, he made 20 kereshim planks, and their 40, their sockets of kesef, silver, 2 sockets under 1 keresh plank, and 2 sockets under another keresh plank. And for the sides of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, westward, he made 6 kereshim planks, and 2 kereshim planks made he for the corners of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in the back, and they were doubled at the bottom and joined together. At the top thereof there was 1 ring, thus he did to both of them in both the corners. There were 8 kereshim planks, and their sockets were 16 sockets of kesef, silver. Under every keresh plank, two sockets. And he made crossbars of acacia wood, five for the kerashim, the planks of the one side of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and five crossbars for the kerashim, the planks of the other side of the Mishkan, tabernacle, and five crossbars for the kerashim, the planks of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, for the sides westward. And he made the middle crossbar to extend within the kerashim, the planks, from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the kerashim, the planks, with zahab, or gold, and made their rings of zahab, gold, to be housing for the crossbars, and overlaid the crossbars with zahab, or gold. Next, we will look at the planks, or boards, that were used to close in the Mishkan tabernacle. The boards were made of wood. Wood speaks of humanity. Please notice, these boards were fitted, causing them to stand erect. This is a direct allusion to resurrection. The Hebrew word is takia, and it literally means to stand up. This is an inference to our Mashiach Yeshua, who was raised from the dead, and to those who have believed upon him. Those who have believed upon Mashiach Yeshua have also had their spirits raised out of the deadness of sin and trespass, citing Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The boards were 10 cubits by 1.5 cubits. The number 10 is 1 basically multiplied by itself 10 times, showing infinity or perfection and unity. The one is our Mashiach. He is truly Echad, and there is no fragmentation in him. He is without sin. The half is us, like the half shekel we have been studying. It represents our incompleteness that can only be made complete in our oneness together. No one in Israel is complete in his or her own self. The 1.5 speaks of us in union with Mashiach. The boards are Mashiach Yeshua, but they are also us in union with him. In this, we remember the Hebraic idiom that causes us to remember all of Israel's interconnectedness. Kol Israel Aravim Ze Laze. All Israel is responsible for each other. The boards were designed with two tenons or projections each. Two is the number of witness. We are called to witness to the redemption made ours in Mashiach. The tenons projections were made to fit securely in silver sockets at the top and bottom. Silver speaks of redemption. Mashiach Yeshua secured our redemption through his death, burial, and resurrection. We are made to stand up by our resurrection with Mashiach in his power over death, and are secured in that redemption by the four tenons, the projections of on the boards, at the top and bottom. Four is the number of Mashiach. We are secure in him. It is interesting to see that when referencing the corners in the Mishkan, the tabernacle, they were reinforced. A corner is a naturally weak place. Yahweh knows in our journey of redemption, there will be times when we will turn many corners. These are times when we are being changed from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He has made provision for those times. Thus, the reinforcement of the corners picture his added strength, the guarantee we will make it through to his desired end by looking away unto him in trusting faithfulness, quoting Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Now, these standing boards, while steadied in the sockets, are still somewhat unstable due to their height. Therefore, the crossbars were made to run at the top and one directly through the middle of the boards. There was a total of five each for each side, east and west. Again, five here speaks of grace. It is the grace of Yahweh that secures our redemption and salvation. But Then there is the one crossbar running the entire length of the boards. This particular crossbar is set within the boards themselves. This is the Torah, the word of Yahweh, the living Torah, our Mashiach Yeshua. Gold speaks of two things. One, the divinity of Yahweh, our mighty one. And two, it also speaks of the purity of his love that he loves us with. The crossbars, citing 5 and 5, overlaid with gold, running along the top and bottom of the boards, is the love of Yahweh he has for us. The middle crossbar, overlaid with gold, which runs directly through the center of the boards, is our Mashiach, who is in us, in union with us. He is the living Torah, and he is making sure that the Torah is in our heart and is ready to be written there as we live and move in him. The boards are overlaid with gold, which speaks of two things. Number one, first, the boards are Mashiach, who is Yahweh in the flesh, in his pure and sinless humanity. The gold speaks of the love that Abba Yahweh, our mighty one, has for us. He manifested himself in flesh and called that manifestation his son, quoting Yochanan John 3 and verse 16. Now, in union through Mashiach, we have been reconciled, brought to shalom, peace, completion with our Creator, citing 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. Second, the boards are also us, the Kahal in Hebrew, the assembly, the congregation. The ecclesia, called out ones, which is the Greek sister word to Kahal of Mashiach, Yahweh's chosen nation of Israel. Our humanity is covered by the love of Yahweh, and thus we are hidden in Mashiach in union with Yahweh himself, our mighty one, citing Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. The veil, pillars, and screen for the tent of meeting. We'll be reading from Shemot, Exodus 36, verses 35 through 38. And he made a parochet, a veil of turquoise and purple and scarlet wool, and twisted fine linen with keruvim, cherubs, made he it of artistic embroidery. And he made thereunto 4 amudim, pillars of acacia wood, and overlaid them with zahab, gold. Their hooks were of zahav, gold, and he cast for them 4 sockets of kesef, silver. And he made a masach, a screen for the petach, the entrance of the ohel, the tent of turquoise and purple, and scarlet wool and twisted fine linen, the work of artistic embroidery, and the 5 amudim, the pillars of it, with their hooks, and he overlaid their tops and their bands with zahab, gold, but their 5 sockets were of nechoshet, or bronze. The parochet, the veil, which hung between the Kodesh, holy place, and the Kodesh Kodeshim, the most holy place, is our next focus. The first thing to notice is the difference in the order of the material of the veil, its colors, and those of the curtains within the Kodesh Kodeshim, holy place. Instead of the keruvim, cherubs, being embroidered on the white linen of the curtains, they were embroidered on the blue background on the veil. The rest of the colors were used in forming the figures of the keruvim, the cherubs. There is an importance also to the placing of the keruvim, the cherubs, on the entrance veil to the Kodesh Kodeshim, the most holy place. It brings us back to the Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and the expulsion of Adam and Chava, or Eve. Yahweh sets 2 keruvim, cherubs, at the entrance to the garden with flaming swords to keep man out after the fall. The image of the 2 keruvim, the cherubs on the veil, with the rites established by Yahweh for the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, on Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, shows that Blood is required for re-entry into Yahweh's full rectification for the fall. The four pillars of acacia wood are different from the five pillars that come later. They are overlain with gold like the boards. There are the hooks of gold, but they are set in sockets of silver. Again, speaking of redemption. The five pillars are set in five sockets of bronze, speaking of judgment. The four pillars speak both of Mashiach Yeshua and of us, like the boards. Four is the number of Mashiach, and it is through him that our redemption is purchased and upon which we stand secure in that redemption. The four pillars may also be a picture of the four Besorot, Gospels of the Messianic writings, citing Matthew through Revelation, through which our redemption and salvation are revealed. We too are pictured in those pillars covered with gold. It is a picture of our being in, meaning in union with Mashiach. This is why there are five pillars, chesed, or grace, and are set in the silver sockets showing redemption. We also have this word from Hitgalut Revelation. We're quoting Hitgalut Revelation chapter 3, the first part of verse 12. The one who wins the Nitzachon, the victory, I will make an amud, a pillar, in the Beit HaMikdash of Elohai, the house of the sanctuary of my mighty one. The scene shifts to the Masach, the screen, that provides entrance into the Kodesh holy place from the outer court. It too is made of fine linen righteousness with the same three colors we have seen already. Only the Levitical Aaronic priest and the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, were allowed to enter into the actual second compartment. Only the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, was allowed to enter the third compartment of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Kodesh Kodeshim, most holy place, and then only on the Moed appointed time of Yom HaKippurim, Day of Atonements. Next are the five pillars, each crowned with gold and set in sockets of bronze. This is a picture of Mashiach Yeshua in his redemptive glory. Five, again, is a picture of grace, of which, as we have seen, has come to us through Mashiach Yeshua, citing Yochanan John chapter 1 and verse 17. Our salvation is a product of Yahweh's grace, citing Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 9. It was Mashiach Yeshua's willing obedience to humble himself to death on the physical execution stake which bought our redemption. For that obedience, he was crowned with glory. Note the picture of the golden crown on top of the pillar, and is sat down, showing the work of redemption is finished at the right hand, which speaks of strength and dominion of Yahweh's throne. We will be quoting from Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our gaze on the Mechechokech, the founder of our Orthodox Messianic Jewish faith, and the one who makes it shlamut, complete, perfect. Yehoshua, Yeshua is the shortened form in Aramaic, who because of the simcha, the joy set before him, endured ha'etz, ha'mashiach, the tree, the stake of the Messiah, disregarding its busha, its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, citing Tehillim 110, verse 1. Also, it is a Hebrew idiom for the King Messiah of Yahweh enthroned in the heavens. The bronze sockets spoken of above are the sufferings of judgment endured by Mashiach Yeshua, which rightfully was our own to suffer. No one can share in that work. Yet Yahweh, in his abundant grace, manifested a portion of himself as the Word, the Son, the Word made flesh, who willingly humbled himself to become obedient to that death on the terrible physical execution stake as our Goel, kinsman redeemer. At the appointed time, the third day, Yahweh raised our master Yeshua from the dead and caused him to tikiyat, to stand up alive in the grave, and set him on high. Worthy is the Say Elohim, Lamb of our Mighty One, to receive glory and honor forever. Amen. The Michigan Tabernacle, a full revelation of redemption and rectification. Beloved, I'm going to stop here at this point in our looking into the parable of Yahweh's redemptive glory, as expressed through the Michigan, the Tabernacle. I trust you have seen and have been provoked to grasp the glory Yahweh has enclosed within his Michigan, the Tabernacle, for us. I hope that you will continue to press on ahead and pull out these hidden truths. Hidden, not from us, but for us. The rest of the furnishings discussed in the remaining verses of our Torah Parsha are full of these wonderful truths we have seen thus far. There are even further depths of these things we haven't even touched on yet, but they are there, waiting for all to find. May Yahweh bless you as you continue to seek him and the glory contained in his Torah. The fullness of our redemption and our ultimate rectification are awaiting each of us and all Israel. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of Torah. Chazak u'baruch, strength and blessing.